We are speaking on the book of Galatians. We are going verse by verse through the entire book. I picked it because it only had six chapters. That's not why I picked it. God told me to pick it. So we are on chapter 4, I think, verse 10. Yes, look at that. We're making progress. Not really. This is like the eighth or ninth Sunday. So, yeah, we're making slow progress. I think I'm going to do a chapter a day, but I do a chapter a month. So it's all good. I realized when I really looked at this book how nothing has changed in 2,000 years. How we're the same as the church of Galatia was. Nothing has changed. And the question is, why has nothing changed? Are we doing a... And we are. A terrible job at telling the truth. And I've been in meetings in churches where they talked about how they needed to water down the word to fill the seats up. I've been in churches with 1,000 members. And the focus is to not offend anybody. But I will tell you very clearly that I feel like a Reese's commercial. Sorry, not sorry. I don't want to offend you, but God's word will offend you, so you will get offended at some point. And I'm sorry, not sorry. Because it's not me offending you, it's the word of God that's offending you. I'm just the middleman. I'm just the one giving you the word of God. Now, why is that so important? Well, you want the truth? The majority of you do not go home and look at the word of God. Some people, this is the only time that they ever hear the word of God. And so it's very important that I give you the truth. Even if it gets under your skin. So we're going to continue on with verse 10. So let's get started. You are observing, now this is Paul talking to the church of Galatia. You're observing special days and months and seasons and years. Now wait a minute. You accepted Christ, but you're holding on to the old traditions as if they mean something, as if that day is so important that that's the day that causes things to happen. There's some observances that certain religions observe that if I thought they worked, I'd sign up. I would convert. Wait a minute. So let me get this right. One day, I skip a meal and my sins are forgiven for the whole year? Woo! You ever heard that saying, if it's too good to be true, it probably isn't? That's a little too good to be true. I like it. I'd like to sign up. See, I don't have to skip a meal. I just have to ask God to forgive me. All I have to do is say, God, I know I failed, and I know I made this mistake because your Holy Spirit convicted me that it was a mistake. See, if the Holy Spirit didn't convict you that you were doing something wrong, you would never know you did something wrong. You would never know it was a mistake. See, the walking dead have no conscience. When they steal, they steal, and they're not concerned about it because they have no conscience, because the Holy Spirit never convicted them that it was wrong to steal in the first place. But I have a Holy Spirit. You have a Holy Spirit if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. And that Holy Spirit will convict you of things that you shouldn't do. And you can fight them for years because the Holy Spirit will not make you stop doing them. But I've often said this. What we do is we celebrate a risen Christ and then we ignore everything he said. That makes no sense to me. We want to go back into the Old Testament and we want to find a scripture that they had to go by 2,000 years. And then we erase the grace of God and we hold on to that old scripture. Well, it's been said, an eye for an eye. In other words, it's been said that if you harm me, I can harm you. If you hurt me, I can hurt you. If you kill me, then you can't kill them back. No. I was on a roll. I don't know what happened. And we want to hold on to that as if there were no Jesus. And Jesus said, you've heard it's been said. But I say, turn the other cheek. If he hits you on one cheek, turn around and let him hit you on the other. See, you can't hold on to both. You got to choose one or the other. Those who think they have rights choose the eye for an eye. Those who realize they have been bought for a price. Why does Paul often say, I'm a slave for Jesus? He's acknowledging he was bought for a price, so he gave up his rights. I don't have a right to retaliate because God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So we want to live in the new life of Christ while we hold on to the old life of God. But there's a separation. There's a separation where God got quiet for 400 years. That's between the Old Testament and the New Testament. God had to enact his plan. And sometimes you have to enact your plan to change. God made a change, a great change. And he sent Jesus so that you wouldn't have to hold on to those silly observances. Now, I'm not against observances, and I have participated in them. It's not the participation is the problem. It's the reason why you participate is the problem. It's always a matter of the heart. Everything you do is a matter of the heart. The Bible says God's looking to see how beautiful, or the people are looking to see how beautiful you are, how tall, handsome you are, how well-dressed you are. He says, I'm not looking at any of that. I'm looking at the heart. I'm only looking at your heart. I'm honored to do the service this afternoon. Because the outside didn't look so good, but the heart was pretty cool. and I get to talk about that. I've sat down at Seder's. I've celebrated observances because they're fun. And I learn. But I know that thing's not going to do anything for me that Christ hasn't already done. Paul goes on to say, I fear for you. I fear for you that are holding on to things that Jesus changed. And there are still so many preachers, so many churches preaching that Jesus didn't change anything. And I tell you very clearly, he didn't change anything. He changed everything. He split time in half. I fear for you because you're holding on to things that aren't going to get you anywhere. They're not going to get you into heaven, but you think they are. My biggest concern in ministry, or my biggest heart in ministry, are reaching those that think they're going to heaven and they are not. Because it's easy to think you're going to heaven. But you're holding on to unforgiveness. And if you haven't heard it before, let me be the first to tell you that unforgiveness is your taxi ride to hell. You just called Uber and don't even know it. You got on your spiritual app and you're sending yourself straight to hell. Now, how do I know that? Jesus said, if you do not forgive your brother or sister that has sinned against you, my Father in heaven will not forgive you. And if he does not forgive you, you don't go to heaven. Heaven's a holy place. When we do baptisms, we sign a certificate, and I get to sign it, or whoever baptized you gets to sign that certificate. Maybe hell has some certificates. Who's signing yours? Well, let me tell you who. It's that one you're holding unforgiveness for. Well, you don't know what they did. Yes, I do. I've heard the most horrific stories that would traumatize you. Good word. I know how evil people can be. If you don't think people can be evil, just pay attention to the stories that are being broadcast this last week or two. I heard one idiot. Did I say that out loud? Say that he wished Charlie Kirk's family would die, and that their children would die, and their children would die, and their children would die. That is evil, 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 evil. Whether you agree with his comments or you don't agree with his comments, to wish his great-great-grandchildren dead is evil. People are evil. But I'll tell you this. Don't get offended, but here you go. You are not worth my trip to heaven. I love you, but I don't love you that much. You're not getting in my way. You're not my roadblock. See, you don't forgive others for them. You forgive them for yourself. I have to find a way to forgive the one who sold Nicholas the drugs. I'm in process. I'm not there yet, but I'm in process. Because forgiveness is a process. It's not an on and off switch. Nicholas has already forgiven him. I gotta be careful. I'll preach the funeral right now. Being a Christian, I've said this before a long time ago, but the governor, Jesse Ventura of Minnesota, I believe, stated that we use Christianity as a crutch. And what he doesn't understand yet, when he gets to hell, he'll figure it out. Being a Christian is the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life if you do it right. If you do it right, nothing will ever be harder for you. What you have to tolerate is beyond. Can't have any hate in your heart. Try that on for size. That's not easy. Because there's a lot of people I would like to hate. But I'm not going to hold on to that old scripture. I'm going to cling to the new. And Jesus said, how can you love your brother that you can see? How can you not love your brother who you can see and say that you love me? Don't be a liar. He says, you're lying if you think you love me and you don't love somebody else because of the way they act, the way that they talk, or the things that they do, or the color of their skin, or whatever it is. Don't act like you love me because you're a liar. Who are you lying to? Yourself. You can't have hate in your heart if you want to be a Christian. That's coming from a man that was full of hate. I often say I was an equal opportunity hater. I say that because I hated the Spanish people, and I hated the black people, but I hated the white people too. I was equal opportunity hater. No discrimination. I just hated everybody. Then I found Jesus. And I know how drastic Jesus can change you, because now I love everybody. and who you are, what you do, doesn't change that. Because what you do is you will allow other people to change who you are. You're not going to change who I am. God is love. 1 John, God is love. God is in me. Therefore, I am love. And why would I allow you to change who I am? Just because you're doing something foolish. I'm not getting very far, am I? I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You did me no wrong. What's Paul saying? He's saying, you know, and the verses will go on to explain this, but he's saying, hey, you came and you fell in love. People come and they fall in love with the church. I've had people move from states away, because they came here and they wanted to be here. That's amazing to me that they would actually sell their house, move here for the sole reason of being here. That's astonishing to me. But it's happened on multiple occasions. Why do I tell you that? Because where are they now? Paul said, I came in there and you just thought, I had the word of God in my mouth, and you couldn't get enough of it. He says, as you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Paul became ill. We don't exactly know what that illness was. Some people believe it was eyesight. Some people believe it was epilepsy. But we don't really know. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. And I understand this because people come in and I'll hear these words. I love this place. I want to be here. Time goes on, and guess what? We didn't change. We preach the same word of God that we've always preached. Go back and listen to a sermon from 10 years ago. It's the same sermon as you're getting now. It's the unadulterated truth of God. Nothing minced, nothing placated, nothing cushioned. It is what it is. I'm answering to God for the words I say. I have to watch over your soul. How could I do that if I lie to you and tell you how perfect you are? Went to a church and they said, you guys are perfect just the way you are. I go to my churches, y'all ain't even close. Change. Because one's the truth and one's a lie. You figure it out. Paul says, I came to your church under dire circumstances and yet you treated me as a messenger of God. Where then is your blessing of me now? What changed? This next verse is why it may have been an eye injury. I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Might just be a figure of speech that you would have given me the shirt off your back, is what we would say today. And I've got people that have been with me for 13 years. Our famous guitarist is not here today. He's in Washington, some type of military event, an amazing opportunity for him to go to. I'm not sure what it all is about. But I met him and Pastor Linda 13 and a half years ago, 14 years ago. And they saw something. And they came up to me and they handed me the keys to their house. And said, you can use our house to take a shower. Because I was here working on the building. And so we'd work all day on the building and then go to their house and take a shower. Shirt off their back. Here I'm 14 years later. And somehow I still have the key to their house. I have my own shower now. What I'm saying is they never deviated from that. If I need something, they're there. If I want something, they're there. There are others that are just the same because they held on to what they had. And see, I can assure you the devil only has this goal in mind for you. That's to separate you from the church. Whatever he can do to offend you, whatever he can do to upset you, he'll give you, we had a praise leader supposed to start on our very first service, and he was going to start, and the day before, the devil gives him a job on Sunday so he can't be the praise leader. Don't want you back on the stage. Don't want you honoring God that way. Let me hook you up with something. And people run around here all the time. Now I'm going off on this is called, for those who don't know me, I go on trails. They have nothing to do with the sermon, but it's a trail. Now I'm going to go on this trail right now. If you just got a job that keeps you from coming to church, that job is not from God, because God's not going to give you a job that keeps you from coming to church. Wake up. God's never going to do anything that'll separate him from you. So don't come in here asking me to celebrate with you that you got a job that keeps you from coming to church. Because I know that job ain't from God. People get mad at me for that statement. Go ahead, get mad. I know my God. My God makes way. My God works it out. About once a year, I have to miss church for work. That's the exception, not the rule. I would tell you I miss church for sickness, but I don't, because the sicker I am, the more I want to be in church, because that's where the healing is. Another twisted thought people have. Now, if you're contagious, stay home. Other than that, you're going to find me right here. I know where the anointing's at. Paul's saying, guys, there was a time you accepted me, you embraced me, you loved me, you took care of me, whatever I needed. But verse 16 says, how or have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Something's changed. But it's not me, it's you. I'm telling you the same thing I've always told you. I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I preach the gospel of the Bible. Why are you mad at me now for? Oh, I hit too close to home? Those people, who are those people? The Judaites. I don't know what a Judaite is, but I know it was them. Are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may have zeal for them. Who is the Judaite in your life? They wear disguises. They might wear the disguise of a friend. They might wear the disguise of a family member. They might wear the disguise of an employer. Back on my trail, if you work like God wanted you to work, you can have any day off you want. What? But you goof around half the day. No, they'll tell you when you're going to be there. And if you tell them you ain't working on Sunday, they'll tell you goodbye. But if you're worth something, if you got some value, if you've proven yourself to be loyal, if you've proven yourself to be faithful, if you've proven yourself to be hardworking, reliable, I know I'm an employer. And when my guys come to me and say, I need a day off, I'm like, very good. What day? It's that simple. I'm not losing them over a day off. All right, back to the sermon. We don't recognize when someone's trying to interfere with our life. We don't recognize where somebody's trying to drag us away from church. Because they put an offer in front of you. And see, that's your test, wise man. That's your test. Are you going to fall for the bait? Or are you going to do what God wants you to do? There's a reason those rides at the amusement park go whirly round and over and under and back and forth. there to alienate you. It's fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I am with you. In other words, don't be just acting holy because I'm in your presence. When I get out of your presence, you should act the same way you acted while you were in church. You weren't cussing in church, so don't go out there cussing. You weren't smoking dope in church. Don't go out there smoking dope. You weren't drinking in church. Don't go out there drinking. You weren't hateful in church. Don't go out there and be hateful. I tell people all the time, treat your wife the way you treat me. Actually, treat her better. She should mean more to you than I do. You come in here treating me with respect. Treat your husband like you treat me. In fact, do it better. He's the one's got your back, ladies. He's the one's going to be there in the hard times and the good times and every other time. Some of you treat strangers better than you treat your wife. Should I dare say it? What do you think? That's why you be divorced. That might not be the only reason, but that's the reason many are divorced. They forgot how to treat their husband. They forgot how to treat their wife. They forgot about the things they did to get that person. But once they got it, they took it for granted and then treated them like they were dogs. Well, how you know that, Pastor? If you've done as many marriage counselings as I have, you'd know it too. That's where I got to end. But don't worry. If you come back next week, I got more. More truth. I'm also available on the internet in case you can't come. Get some truth in your life. Prayer team, come up. Father, we lift up your name today. I pray we honored you today in our worship. I pray we acknowledged your sacrifice. I pray we brought a gift to you. I pray that we spoke the truth of God and nothing less. I pray, God, that each and every one of us can say, I was right where I was supposed to be today. I pray, God, for your blessing to be upon us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.